And please turn with me in your Bibles now to the book of Galatians. We're back in the book of Galatians this afternoon, which is where we began our series on the fruit of the Spirit, which is in Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. And Paul goes on and continues to apply that teaching in Galatians chapter 6 of what it means to bear the fruit of the Spirit. And this afternoon, I want to focus specifically on Galatians 6, verses 9 through 10. Galatians 6, verses 9 through 10. I'll read, however, verses 1 through 10. So hear now God's word. Brothers, if anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. Keep watch on yourself, lest you too be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks he is something, when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But let each one test his own work, and then his reason to boast will be in himself alone and not in his neighbor, for each will have to bear his own load. One who is taught the word must share all good things with the one who teaches. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for whatever one sows, that will he also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption, but the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. And let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up. So then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, and especially to those who are of the household of faith. Thus far, the reading of God's word, may he bless it now to our hearts. Well, this morning we considered the kindness and goodness of our God and Savior and what the implications are for us as God's children. And we primarily considered, as we looked at God's goodness and kindness towards us, what that implies for us as God's children. We sort of laid some foundational principles. We learned that we are to show kindness and goodness to others, not only to the people that we like, not only to the people who treat us well, not only to those who we get along with, but even our enemies, even those who persecute us, even those who are out to get us, even those people who annoy us. We are to treat others the way God has treated us, who were undeserving of his mercy. We are to be generous towards others as God has been generous towards us. We are to stick with people and persevere with them in kindness and goodness as God does with us. And above all, they said this morning, we should persevere with them and be eager to share with them the message of the gospel, the message of salvation with them. And so we primarily considered the kindness and goodness of God and the principles that implies. And as I said this morning, this afternoon, I want to especially apply that now to everyday life. One of my perhaps my main aim of this sermon is to demonstrate to you that kindness and goodness is not a rare thing, but there's opportunities every day in your life to demonstrate this to others. And you need to be prayerfully alert to these opportunities. And so we'll consider then this theme, kindness and goodness in everyday life. And from Galatians 6, verses 9 and 10, we'll see first the weariness of kindness and goodness, and then secondly, the practice of kindness and goodness. So first, the weariness of kindness of goodness. Paul says in verse 9, let us not grow weary of doing good. Why does Paul say that? It's because we know this. We get weary of doing good unless we are being stirred up to love and good deeds by God's word and depending on the Spirit's strength. It's not easy loving people who don't love you in return. It's not easy showing kindness to people who are ungrateful towards you and take advantage of your kindness. It's not easy overcoming evil with good. It's even wearisome to practice goodness and kindness on a daily basis towards the people we love. We have a tendency to grow weary of doing good due to our own sinfulness, due to the sinfulness of others, due to the difficult life situations we find ourselves in, due to our impatient desire to see immediate results, and due to the sheer immensity of human need. And so Paul exhorts us, let us not grow weary of doing good. But what can we do to keep from growing weary? Well, there are several things that we can do. For some of us, it means getting some rest, taking a nap, getting a good night's sleep, carving out time in your week to take care of your body, to get physical rest. We get crabby. We get grumpy when we're tired. And that's when we're particularly vulnerable to not be kind and good to others. Parents, this is important for you with your children to help them get good rest as well. Secondly, another thing we can do is stop striving in our own strength. For some of us, it's our tendency to get up at the last minute in the morning and to rush off to work or school and to just go, 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 go. And then finally around afternoon or evening, we think, oh, maybe I should pray or read the Bible, spend some time in God's word. Or for some of us, we're early birds and we get up bright and early and we have a very relaxing morning, but yet we still neglect to depend on God's strength in prayer and meditating on his word. And so let me encourage you with this promise from God's word, where Isaiah 40 tells the exiled Jews, he says, he gives power to the faint, and to him who has no might, he increases strength. Even youths shall faint and be weary, and young men shall fall exhausted, but they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. That's a beautiful image of strength, is it not? Mounting up like wings of an eagle. Running and not growing weary. That comes as you wait upon the Lord. When you strive in the strength of the Lord rather than in your own strength. And while you wait, another thing that you can do is depend on your brothers and sisters in Christ to pray for you when you are weary and to serve you and help you with their gifts. You know, I think a lot of the times our pride gets in the way of this. We don't like to admit that we're weary. We don't like to admit that we're struggling in weakness. But brothers and sisters, we have been given to each other for this reason, to lift one another up in prayer, to serve one another when another person is weary. And so don't forfeit this benefit that God has given to you in the body of Christ. Ask for others to pray for you when you're weary. Ask for some help. Another thing you can do to keep from growing weary is to meditate deeply upon the gospel. We saw that especially this morning. And it's interesting that whenever Paul mentions kindness and goodness and exhorts us to good works, it always comes right on the heel of the gospel. In Ephesians 2, he speaks of the immeasurable riches of his grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. And then goes on and says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. In Titus, Paul says this, in Titus 2, Christ gave himself for us to redeem us from all lawlessness and to purify for himself a people for his own possession who are zealous for good works. You see, if you aren't zealous for good works, if you are into just coasting in the Christian life and letting everybody else bear the load in the body of Christ, letting the leaders of the church, the office bearers, take on all the service responsibilities, you're living contrary to the way for one of the reasons that Christ died for you. He died to redeem for himself a people for his own possession who are zealous for good works. Paul goes on and says, as we saw this morning, but when the goodness and loving kindness of God our Savior appeared, he saved us not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to his own mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that being justified by his grace, we have become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. He reminds us of the gospel, the riches that we have in Christ. We need to meditate deeply upon these riches, because what does he then do in the very next verse? In verse 8, he says, the saying is trustworthy, and I want you to insist on these things so that those who have believed in God may be careful to devote themselves to good works. Good works always flow out of the gospel. If you're growing weary in doing good, you need to meditate deeply upon the gospel. As John Stott once wrote, a famous commentator, he wrote, no one who has been to the cross and seen God's immeasurable and unmerited love displayed there can go back to a life of selfishness. Well, finally, what Paul encourages us with in this passage is that we must not grow weary, because one day there will be a harvest, he says. He says, let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap. We will reap if we do not give up. Beloved, the harvest will come. The Bible teaches us that we will not be sowing forever. One day we will reap the fruit of our labors in Christ. If not in this life, then surely when Christ returns. And so you and I must not give up, but keep sowing good works in Christ. Not in order to merit our salvation, but because we're thankful for Christ, and because we have the Spirit in our life, and because we have the sure hope of heaven. Now, as I said, we have to wait patiently for the harvest. And sometimes we will reap certain fruits in this life, but sometimes we'll have to wait till heaven itself. But Phil Ryken, in his commentary on Galatians, gives a good example of what it means to sow and then to wait for the reaping to come. This example comes from the colony of Virginia. He says it concerns the conversion of a man named Luke Short, who was converted at the ripe old age of 103. 103, converted to Christ. And this is how it happened. Short was sitting under a hedge when he remembered a sermon he had once heard preached by the famous Puritan John Flavel, who died in 1691. And as he recalled the sermon, he asked God right then and there to forgive his sins through Jesus Christ. Short then lived for 3 more years, and then he died at age 106. And this is the inscription that was on his tombstone. Here lies a babe in grace, aged 3 years, who died according to nature, aged 106. But here's the remarkable part of the story that Ryken points out. The sermon that Short remembered at age 103 was a sermon that he had heard preached by John Flavel back in England 85 years before. Nearly a century had passed between the sermon and the conversion, between the sowing and the reaping. But a man reaps what he sows, Ryken says, and at the proper time, Flavel reaped his harvest. And beloved, this is a reminder to you and me not to evaluate our sowing based on immediate results. Last week we talked about patience. It applies here. Here we need to learn patience in order to not grow weary of doing good. I as a pastor and we as a church need to remember this when we are thinking of giving up on serving in this church because growth seems so slow. We grow so slowly. Or our brothers and sisters are so slow to be sanctified and grow in Christ. You as parents need to remember this with your children as you teach them the faith. Some of you will see early professions of faith. Others of you will have to wait patiently for the Lord to reap what you have sown. And you'll have to persevere in prayer. Even as we heard this morning about Augustine's mother persevering in prayer for her son. You and I need to remember this when we start to grow weary of showing kindness towards others. We may reap what we have sown. Shortly after, we may reap in 10 years or maybe even in 85 years like John Flavel did. Or we may reap when Christ returns. Surely we will reap when he returns. James 5 says, be patient, therefore, brothers, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruits of the earth, being patient about it until it receives the early and the late rains. You also be patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. So this is how we strengthen our hearts when they grow weary. Paul says that we are to look forward to the harvest that is coming in Christ. And as I pointed out, it also means finding physical rest if we need it and depending on God's strength daily and meditating deeper on the gospel and depending on the prayers of brothers and sisters and their help as well. We easily grow weary in doing good, but these will help us to not grow weary in doing good. Well, how then shall we practice kindness and goodness in everyday life? You stuck around for the sermon. Now we get to the nitty-gritty details of kindness and goodness in everyday life. Paul says in verse 10, so then as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone and especially to those who are the household of faith. Now, according to this verse, you and I are to do good to all people, all kinds of people, both inside and outside the church. However, Paul places special emphasis on those who are of the household of faith, which means that you and I have a special responsibility to care for our brothers and sisters in Christ. Beloved, whether you like it or not, you and I are family. You and I belong to one another. You and I will spend eternity with each other in heaven as brothers and sisters in Christ. We are all God's children by adoption, and this is an eternal union. It's a bond that is even stronger than the bond between those who share your own blood. It's a bond that's even stronger than the bond that you share with those who share your own blood. And so if it is your tendency to show greater kindness and goodness to unbelievers, even if it is your own family, you need to remember these words from Paul. Let us do good to everyone, and especially to those who are of the household of faith. One commentator writes, Christians, therefore, are particularly bound to do good to one another. Every poor and distressed man has a claim on me for pity, and if I can afford it, for active exertion and pecuniary relief. But a poor Christian has a far stronger claim on my feelings, my labors, and my property. He is my brother, equally interested with myself in the blood and love of the Redeemer. I expect to spend an eternity with him in heaven. He is the representative of my unseen Savior, and he considers everything done to his poor, afflicted brother as done to himself. For a Christian to be unkind to a Christian is not only wrong, it is monstrous. And is this not what Jesus said at the judgment in Matthew 25? He will say, truly, I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of these, my brothers, you did it to me. And then he will say to the goats, truly, I say to you, as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me. And these will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. How does this look to show kindness and goodness to brothers and sisters in Christ? Well, perhaps somebody you know is a Christian, maybe even in this church, might have a difficult financial burden on their back. Perhaps they lost their job. Perhaps their car broke down. Perhaps they have school debt and they're having or medical bills that are difficult to pay off. And perhaps you know an unbeliever that has a similar situation. Beloved, you have a greater responsibility for your brothers and sisters in Christ. That's not to discount sharing and being generous towards even unbelievers, as we'll see in a moment. But we have a special responsibility to those who are of the household of faith. And this applies to our time and energy as well. It's not just money. It applies to our time and energy as well. Sometimes we spend all of our free time during the week just being couch potatoes and just spending all of our free time on our own pleasure rather than looking for opportunities to serve our brothers and sisters in the body of Christ. It may mean helping with cleaning the church, taking out the garbage, or doing some yard work. It may mean getting here early on Sunday to greet people. It may mean visiting each other and praying for each other when somebody is sick or in the hospital. It may be something as small as cleaning up your pew when the service is over so that your pastor doesn't have to clean it up when he comes to work on Sunday and he can spend more time studying God's word and praying for you. It may mean serving the parents in our church by helping them with their children. It may mean sticking around to encourage someone or being a good listener for somebody rather than rushing out the door when the service is over so that you can go about your day and get on with things. And it may mean putting away your smartphone and not being so concerned about your friends on Facebook and being more concerned about your brothers and sisters who are here face to face before you that God is calling you to be concerned about and to care for. Remember, these are your brothers and sisters in Christ, and Christ says to you, as you did it to the least of these, my brethren, you did it unto me. Beloved, are you ignoring Christ by ignoring his body? Or are you serving Christ by serving his body in this church? Well, let's not stress this point too much, because Paul also says, And we don't want to neglect this. He says, so then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone. Now, what does this look like? Well, in the first place, Paul says, as we have opportunity. Now, this doesn't mean just some random once in a blue moon opportunity. He's speaking relative to the return of Christ. In other words, every day is opportunity until Christ comes again. Every waking moment till Christ comes again is opportunity. Jerry Bridges points out, we all have a tendency to rise to the special occasions of our lives, but God has created us to do our good works in the midst of the humdrum of daily living. He calls us to, in the humdrum of daily living, show goodness and kindness to others. You know, Paul describes for us the ordinariness of good deeds in 1 Timothy 5. He says, let a widow be enrolled if she is not less than 60 years of age, having been the wife of one husband, and having a reputation for good works. Now, what are the good works that Paul is speaking of? He goes on and says, if she has brought up children, has shown hospitality, has washed the feet of the saints, has cared for the afflicted, and has devoted herself to every good work. Are these very glamorous? Having children, raising children, washing people's feet, showing hospitality? No, but the opportunity to show kindness and goodness towards others comes in the course of ordinary daily living. The challenge for you and me is to be prayerfully alert for those opportunities. And one of the places where you have an abundance of opportunity is to do good to everyone at home. At home. Paul says to do good to us all, especially to those of the household of faith. And earlier I said that the Christian family bond is stronger than the earthly family bond. But the earthly family bond is second on the priority list. Paul says elsewhere in 1 Timothy 5, if anyone does not provide for his relatives and especially for members of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. Those are some strong words from Paul. And Paul's speaking primarily of providing financial aid and resources for our family members who are in need. But I think the principle behind it is that we should have a special care for our family members, especially the ones we live with, our mom and our dad, our brothers and sisters, our children in our home. So often we fail and miss these opportunities to show kindness and goodness to our family members in the home in ordinary ways. How many of you dads have ever noticed that your child needs a diaper change and you just pretend like you didn't see it in hopes that mom will come around and change it? I know I'm guilty of that. How many of you teenagers are asked to help with chores around the house and your parents have to threaten you several times before you pick them up, before you do your chores? Or how many of you children have failed to pick up your toys when mom and dad ask you? We can easily miss, you see, opportunities in the home to show kindness and goodness to our neighbors. And for some reason, we think that it's more spiritual to babysit someone else's kids for free than to help with the dishes at home. Or to dog sit someone else's dog when we don't even feed our own dog and pick up his landmines in our dad's yard. We'd rather just take care of other people's dogs. Or we'd rather help our buddy repair his car and clean up his garage when our wife has been asking us to repair the vacuum and to clean up our mess in some room for weeks. Beloved, let us show kindness in the home. Let us help mom or dad with the dishes. Let us help mom and dad with the yard work. Let us share our toys with each other. Let us share the TV with each other. Let us let someone else have the best piece of cake for a change. Let us take out the garbage when we see that it's full rather than waiting for someone else to discover it. Let us clean up after the pet that we brought home rather than making our parents do it. Let us cook a meal every once in a while for mom or dad so that they can have a break. Let us honor mom and dad's curfew if you have one. And if you don't come home at an unreasonable hour and be loud and obnoxious in the middle of the night. I know I was like that, so I'm guilty. Let us also not make a bunch of noise in the morning when people are still sleeping or they take a little bit longer to wake up in the morning. Let us speak kindly to one another in the home. Let us encourage one another. Let us pray for one another in the home. As Paul says in Philippians 2, let each of you look not only to his own interest, but also to the interest of others. Why? Because Christ has mercifully and generously sought your interest in your salvation, earning you forgiveness, the forgiveness of all of your sins and acceptance with God, and earning for you the gift of eternal life. You have daily opportunities. As the saying goes, charity begins in the home. And you who are fathers need to especially remember this, that you are to lead out in these things and to set an example of Christ in your home for your children. But let us also remember that charity it only begins at the home. It doesn't end there. It then goes out into the neighborhood and into all the world, whether rich or poor, whether deserving or undeserving, whether a person shares our ethnicity or not, whether they are good looking or not, whether they can pay us back or not. Our loving others must always arise out of a sense of the abundant riches that we have in Christ and the eternal security that we have in Christ. And so God may be calling you to volunteer at the local homeless shelter, or to work with Word and Deed Ministries, and to go to Uganda, or simply to help your neighbor fix his leaky roof, or to help babysit their children. Do good to everyone, Paul says. Let us not grow weary in doing good to everyone. And one of the other areas that we have daily ample opportunity to do this is doing good to everyone at work. The good works that God prepares for us are consistent with the abilities that he has given us and the circumstances in which he places us. And so, you know, if I have car trouble and a mechanic fixes it for an honest price, that's a good deed, even though I had to pay him. If you are a teacher and you teach your students well for the glory of God, that's showing kindness and goodness. If you report the news and you report it well, that's showing kindness and goodness. If you work at a dry cleaner, that's showing kindness and goodness. If you do it for God, if you're a farmer, that's showing goodness and kindness. If you work for Sasktel, if you're an engineer, am I getting everyone yet? Whatever God has called you to, if you do it heartily for the Lord, for the sake of others, to serve them for the glory of God, that's showing kindness and goodness to them. And for you stay-at-home moms, I didn't forget you, this applies just as much to you. Few things are more difficult than making and raising children and taking care of the home. Godly homemaking is a high calling that's filled with opportunities to show kindness and goodness towards those who are often ungrateful for it. But remember the goodness and loving kindness of God in Christ towards you, even when you have been ungrateful. And know that no matter how your kids treat you, no matter how unthankful or unhelpful your husband may be, it doesn't go unnoticed before your Lord. He sees all, and it is pleasing in his sight. And so what is your attitude towards your job? Is it a means to pay the bills, or is it something you feel called to by God so that you can serve others with the abilities that God has given you? Don't discount the ordinary things in everyday life, the ordinary humdrum opportunities that God lays before you daily, where he calls you to show kindness and goodness in the service of others for the glory of God, even for your enemies, as our Lord teaches us. And as Paul exhorts us once again, by God's grace and strength, let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up. So then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, and especially to those who are of the household of faith. Amen. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, help us not to waste opportunities. Forgive us for the times we have, and forgive us for the times where instead of showing kindness and goodness, we've been selfish and impatient and bitter and annoyed and easily irritated. Father, help us to be loving and kind towards others as you have towards us. Help us, help our hearts to be broken for those around us, even as Christ's heart was broken for us and died on the cross for our sins. And Father, we look forward to the day when Christ will return and we will indeed reap what we have sown, and he will say to us, well done, good and faithful servant, enter into the joy of your master. Amen.